Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
I wasn't really feeling the
no, we weren't
the pre-show chatter to do mic check, but I like it.
Sometimes we do. We just turn it on.
Your voice is. I think you were just mentioning when we first met each other was when I broke my ankle.
Yeah,
and but from the get go, there maybe I don't know if I can name the people on my hands. I've got people on my hands.
Yeah.
That sounded like I just came out of a bukkake. I don't know if I can name everyone.
Is this you? This looks like
hey,
you.
Hey, Jared.
Is this your consistency right here?
You were eating quinoa earlier.
Yeah,
weren't
like,
you?
Are you a Pantene Pro-V guy? Are you Vaseline?
Somebody was eating Gushers earlier.
What's your consistency?
That would be amazing if you could tell. Because, you know,
I'm pretty sure a CSI
like girls will
guy
say,
can
like,
do
isn't
it.
There the thing about, like, if a guy eats something, then it makes your
pineapple jism taste a certain way?
Pineapple. Yeah, yeah.
It is pineapple, right? But like,
yeah.
I'm wondering if it's true for like childhood. Like, what if it's like Gushers? You eat Gushers and it like tastes like, Gushers.
They say the best jism taste is after a Shakey's dinner. That's what they say.
Oh man, that's so funny.
I don't want to know how you came
if
across
you had
that
your
information.
If you had your name on also on the wall or the marquee, the happy birthday Josh or whatever.
Oh my god.
Shakey's was a big deal for raise your hand if Shakey's was a big deal for you growing up.
Hell yeah.
It was all when three I was of our real hands growing young, up. Real young man.
That was like, where every after party for every little league soccer,
yeah, man.
Whatever the hell you did, it was like the coach is like, "We won. We're going to Shakey's." And you thought you were being interviewed after the Super Bowl. Like, yeah, what are you going to do afterward?
Yeah.
And you're like, "I'm going to fucking Shakey's."
Banana. You're just running in there. Like skee ball, whack-a-mole, just caca.
Did you ever sit in the car? The fake, like, did you ever Shakey's? Like the one in Seattle had like a nice, like old classic cars that you could with a table that you could sit in, and it was
I
a big deal. There's only
that.
Like three of them, and so if you got there early enough, you could sit in a car and eat in the car. And I thought that was the coolest thing ever, man.
And you guys were just wigging out, like, nah, I got driver's seat.
Oh,
come
yeah.
on, scoot
no,
over
for sure, man. So like, over, yeah, of course you fight over stupid shit.
So
like,
like you win your game. And then the coach says, "We're going to Shakey's," and this is the song you hear in the parking lot, just like this. Come on, go. Not that one.
Boy, we need. Oh my god, dude, that's
you're drowning.
That was a voicemail Brad got last night from some sort of male suitor, just being like, "Hey, motherfucker, hey, what is
this? Is this Thunderstruck?
Yeah, it's Thunderstruck, AC/DC. So you're like in your Rocketeers, Fullerton Rangers soccer outfit. Not saying this too autobiographical or anything.
Were you the Rocketeers growing up?
Yeah, we were the Rocketeers.
You know, I wasn't. My first soccer team was the Ninja Turtles.
Ah,
yeah. And then we were the Hot Shots.
That's ooh. Good.
And I still have a green, bomber's jacket, green that says Hot Shots on the back.
Of course, you guys were in really professional, like soccer leagues.
Oh,
like
Pele's nephew was my coach. That's not true.
That's not true. Yeah,
I did score on my own team though. My fourth year of playing soccer, and to this day, I'll never forget it. You know why? Scoring on your own team is traumatic enough. Because the ball was rolling in front of our goalie, and I was trying to kick it straight, I was running. It was rolling in front of him, and I was trying to kick it just straight, like out of bounds.
Yeah.
And I kicked it at an angle that it sliced. And all of a sudden, I look over and see him diving to try to stop a ball that I fucking kicked and sliced around him. And it goes into the net. I just remember running over to the side. I look over and see all the parents grabbing their heads going, "No!" Because it was like a big game. And I run over the sidelines, and one of the kids' dads, I'll never forget it, his name was Dave, and he just goes, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "I was trying to kick it out of bounds." He goes, "And then you scored on us?"
I
how
were
you?
That.
Dude, 11?
3.
Well, he was like, "I was 26.
Yeah, yeah. This is the co-ed
like
league.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's happened. Yeah, but you know that there was a point of that kick where you thought like, holy crap, I made the ball slice. That's awesome.
For sure.
And then it goes in your own net. You're like, fuck.
Yeah, dude, it was awful. I literally saw my goalie diving in slow motion because as he was trying to stop.
When I was between 6 and 8, I played soccer, but I had really bad ADHD, more so than now.
It's got to be helpful for soccer, though, right?
Well, they didn't really put me in that often. They put me in, and they put me in on defense because we had really good teams.
So, I was defense, too. That's when you knew that you were shit.
You were shit. And I'd go in maybe around, the second half sometime.
Oh, shit.
And I wouldn't even pay attention. Like, I'd just start, picking flowers.
Yeah, you're a sub. You're a sub on a team of 9-year-olds where the rules are everyone has to play. Yeah,
and you're not even getting a half, a couple minutes before
I got a few. I was the white guy on Duke, you know what I mean, that comes in, that's been cheering. Yeah. But they put me in, and I literally would just wander around the course. I didn't even wear shin guards because, I never really got any.
Right. You're like, who's kicking me?
And then finally the ball started coming towards me. And my mom and dad and everybody's like, hey, Coach Josh,
here's the moment we came here for.
And stop picking daisies, you fuck.
And then I put my hands up doing the crane kick.
Oh, my God.
And I jump over the ball and it goes into the goal.
Dude, what were you doing?
I was just
having fun.
I was just enjoying my life, man. Yeah.
I know, just playing soccer. I didn't know there were stakes involved.
Because I was just my sister right now has kids, and we were talking yesterday because it was her birthday, and she was explaining to me how my oldest niece, who's 6 and a half, they think she has ADHD, and I'm like, well, how do you know that? They're like, well, she's just crazy, and I'm like, she's 6 and a half.
You're 6.
You know
hilarious.
What I mean? Like, that's
supposed to be crazy.
Yeah, you got 2 other kids. If Sophia is as calm as a Hindu cow, at 6 and a half, then Dana has ADHD. But as of right now, she's just enjoying her life being a kid.
And so, kids aren't supposed to have amazing attention levels yet, right? They should be distracted because guess what, man? At 6, you've been on the planet for fucking 6 years.
Everything's
There's so
still
much
new.
Coming at you. Everything is new. Even when you figure out that accidentally coloring a couple colors together makes another color, dude, you need a couple of weeks to process that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, everything, it's just a
you
constant.
You can't just move on to the next thing. It's a constant.
It's mind-blowing. Yeah, it's just there's another country?
Oh, yeah.
Boom.
And then guess what? Then you go to Disneyland, and holy shit, strap on your helmet because your head's popping off.
Oh, that place is hell, dude. I took my nieces there.
How old? Because mine are 4, and I'm getting to my – I'm telling my sister, I'm like, I want you guys to come down here soon to do that. And she's like, let's wait till 6.
I got lost there when I was three,
which was traumatic.
I got Dana's 5, Sophia's 4, 3, and Noah didn't go because he's too young. He's a year and a half, 2 years.
3 seems too young. Right?
Nah, to be honest with you, Sophia enjoyed it more than certain things than Dana did because Sophia's younger, but we took her into the haunted house and she was just this is fucking dope.
When you're a kid and you go to haunted house, all that is real.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a reality to base that against. You're not it's wires holding up the candle, but you're just holy fuck,
this exists.
That woman's head is floating.
There is a Mr. Toad, and his ride is very wild.
Yeah, and I went to hell because that ride does go to hell, which is awesome.
Is it really?
Yeah, it goes. You die. A truck hits you. You go to hell.
Oh, that's right.
You face the devil. They have it hot.
This is
not a mushroom
trip. Is this Disneyland or Disney World?
No, this is Disneyland.
Some fucked up NyQuil dream you had.
Yeah, or it was last night and I just popped a couple Quaaludes, whatever. But a truck hits you, you go through a door, you're in hell where it's rocks and there's fire and they make the room extra hot. Then all of a sudden you make one turn and you're out of hell and you're at the end of the ride and now all is happy. It's like, hey, Disney, you just put a kid in hell. You can't make one turn and be like, it was all a dream. It's like, no, I just saw the devil and he laughed at me. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
What ride was this?
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
I didn't go on that one, but I wish I would have now.
Oh, see, it's just crazy.
I feel like there's a great sign. You were getting into Seinfeld territory where it's just like, the ride, you go to hell. You're in there for a couple minutes. You take a turn. All of a sudden, everything's normal again.
I love that you guys are talking about your nieces and nephews. I just became an uncle for the first time 3 days ago. 3 days ago, my sister had sex 9 months ago, popped out a kid, and now...
How do you know? You weren't there.
Yeah, you know.
You don't know how babies are made.
Oh, my God. Wait, so you're saying my nephew could be Jesus?
I mean, maybe.
Oh, you never know. So now,
but Jesus wasn't born. Is that the?
I have no idea. I'm Jewish.
Aren't you Jewish too?
Yeah. I don't know anything about Jesus. Perfect. Yeah. Well, that's
the whole thing is he wasn't conceived. Mary just got pregnant magically. God just says, "Here's the dick of the Lord," and then got her pregnant.
Is it for real?
Yes, that's for real.
I believe that. In all honesty,
I don't know. I don't really believe
Guess
that,
what?
But it's
I won't
like,
judge
I kinda
you if you
believe that.
Mm-hmm. For sure, you kind of want to because it's fun to believe in stuff that didn't actually happen.
That's true.
That is true. We don't need to get into a religious debate. We haven't ever talked religion on this podcast ever because I don't think anybody at this table has a vested interest in it.
Yeah, nope. I think that's true.
But I would talk about it. You know what? Let's dedicate the rest of this show
to religion.
Here's what
were you bar mitzvahed?
No, I'm just yeah. I totally was actually.
I haven't been bar mitzvahed.
There's time to go back, man.
I'm gonna do it.
Never say never.
I want to do it.
It's a shitty Bieber movie. It's also a great slogan for bar mitzvahs.
I want to do it eventually. I just don't know. I just don't know like when and where. But I want to have like a good one.
Well, at
like
a temple.
I'm gonna have a destination bar mitzvah, like a Catalina Island, like invite like
destination bar mitzvah.
Wow, that sounds like the worst
on Fox.
That sounds like the best Adam Sandler movie in 10 years.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know. Can you do an Adam Sandler?
Yeah, but what would the movie be?
Destination Bar Mitzvah.
Yeah, but what's the premise?
It's what we just talked about.
It's about an older guy.
He's
40. That's not a bad idea for a movie right there. It's about a guy that's like he's never felt like a man. And it's just like then, you know, he comes out. It could be just be me, like a scum bucket. And this, he's like, all right, yeah, I'm going to get my bar mitzvah. And then it's la, la, la. Then this, him setting it up, that like cue the fucking Smash Mouth song. Just like, hey, now you're an awesome. Just reading,
reading the Torah.
Just reading the Half Torah, preparing.
What a great montage.
You had the bar mitzvah montage.
Here's what I want to say about religious talk. And then we can move on because I don't want to spend any time on it. But those late night shows or not shows, but the moments when you see the guy, when he presses people's faces and they fall over and all of a sudden like Christ is inside of them or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't even know the particulars.
Oh yeah.
But I remember I saw
they
once.
Catch the spirit. I think
there it is. Yeah. But there was like a blind woman there once and he shoved her and all of a sudden she could see again. And that made me go like, well, okay. Like that makes me definitely like want to take a double take at what this religion's all about. If you can just press people's foreheads and they can get their sight back.
And you really believe that woman was actually not a plant? Like she didn't.
Well, I mean, at the time, I.
How old were you? Was this like you know?
This was a couple weeks ago, and I was stoned.
And you were just like, Jesus Christ!
Yeah.
Just press that bitch's forehead. You can see.
You'd be like the perfect audience member at Magic Castle. Just you're like, I don't fucking. Oh, I had to get up and leave the room at the. I've only been there once, and you know the smaller where they do the card tricks.
Yeah,
I had to close get up magic room.
I had to get up and leave the room because my mind was so blown from the trick. No joke.
Wow.
I wasn't
fucked up. What was it though? Like it was
he was just playing solitaire and he beat himself and I was like this is no. He was doing like
he did it on his iPhone.
He just beat himself.
He did the most advanced level of Angry Birds one shot.
He said Uno and then he held up the card and then he just like and then he turned it around and it said draw four and then he turned it around again and it was gone. No, he just that would also blow my mind though.
That would.
That actually is a great trick. But it was like one of those where their hands are so fast and I literally like didn't break. I was watching the whole time because I think they're good at distracting you with like making little jokes or, you know, holding something up to get you to look up from their other hand or what it's doing, but like I literally stayed on his hands the whole time. And whatever he did, he pulled a card out of something. And then I think it was one of the things where he threw it up against the wall and the card stuck. And then a little bit of David Blaine shit where he was like, you know, spread your butt cheeks. You know? And then the woman was like, what?
Like, check your belly button.
Check your belly button.
Go inside your belly button.
Yo, if you were a magician, by the way, that's what I would want your closer to be. It's like anything you do and the card disappears and then just jot out.
You're thinking of a card right now? Cool. All right. Now fill this cup up with urine. Hold on a second.
And then,
now grab your balls and cough. There it is.
Wait, where's check your belly button?
I don't know. I was coming later. I already felt like I already said it, so now I got to build up to something else.
Now,
is that bread on your table?
They're toasters.
Yeah. They're
bread coasters.
Coasters, but they're shaped like toast.
It's a very Gitche household. I like how you got it. Like you have like the motherly toilet seat cozy.
Thanks, man.
That won't keep the toilet seat up.
It's
so
the worst.
It's constantly,
my toilet seat won't stay up.
If Adam Ray.
But why, so then why do you need the cozy on there?
Because I got that first. and it would stay up.
Okay.
Adam Ray knows bitches love toilet seat cozies.
Do they?
I didn't even know it was called a cozy.
Yeah, like 70-year-old women. Like, I don't think, like,
hey,
no hot
you haven't seen me for a while. You don't know what's coming over here.
He's
and
going,
by what?
That is
I mean,
true.
How old?
Yeah, no he's going after Gertrude.
Yeah, I know. There's nothing wrong with that, man. There's nothing wrong with that, dude.
Yo, what would be the oldest woman you would date? Like, but I'm going to give you an age range.
Date or phone?
70 to 85. How much money? Oh, you know what? I'm mixing it up here. How much money would it cost you to, all right, if it was either blow a dude or have sex with a 90-year-old woman?
I'd have sex with a 90-year-old woman.
Sex with a 90-year-old
woman. It's always
going to be. Yeah, I mean, because, like, you know, it's still pussy.
Right.
Pussy's pussy. It's like slow roasting pussy. You know what I mean? It's rotisserie. That shit has been cooking.
Slow roasted pussy.
What if like a 9-year-old pussy was like,
why isn't that a game show?
Like the best pussy. Like nobody
for sure. But nobody knows.
Nobody knows because nobody's fucking it. But like old guys,
it's like pussy peaks at like 88, and it, like it's bad from like 55 to 88. But once it hits 88, it turns around and it's like the greatest
that's
thing
like
ever.
That's like one of the incentives to like take care of yourself. Is that like there's some like secret like pussy book where it's like, you know, if you stay, if you're alive at you know, 90. Oh, you know, there's a whole
telling you, man, once you get past 77, that pussy's good. Man, that pussy is good.
That voice, this is, see, look at that tangent. That's what happens.
Yeah.
You have maybe, out of all my friends ever, my favorite voice.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, dude.
And years of drug abuse and smoking cigarettes.
Oh, is that how
that's
you
what
do
I was
it?
Gonna ask.
Lot of opiates and throwing uh-huh. up. And
all
then
right.
and then singeing the vocal cord gave me this. So I'm very lucky.
What was your voice before that? Like
I do like
12-year-old Josh.
I don't, dude. I remember it always kind of was a little raspier because I started smoking at 13. Like
no
I was
shit.
I started like because that was when I like got into like. Like, all right, like I started off as like a headbanger when I was like super young, like 7, 8, 9, 10. Then I became a wigger for like 3 years and was like, I had like, it was just, you know, I was like, nah, Joe. And like had like the part of my hair and like the eyebrow.
Yeah,
I was really,
dude.
Yeah, dude. And I got a picture that I could post.
Please. You had long hair then.
You got to.
No. This is when I was a wigger. Then I met Tassos and Ben.
Wait. A wigger is in like you wore short haired wigs? You got really quick to defend yourself against the long hair accusation.
Oh, I grew my hair long.
For the listeners who don't know what a wigger is.
It's a white guy that wants to be black. Right. I grew up around a lot of black people in Baltimore. By that point, I was living in Baltimore and like I was.
Ooh, you're from the Ryan Sickler country.
Yeah, exactly. Well, by that point, he was living in county and I was living in the city. So we didn't really, I didn't know Ryan until we moved out here, but me and him went to the same college together.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
What were the percentages of like white to black? Like when you say grew up with...
I went to two high schools. I went to Seneca Valley, and then I went to Duke Ellington School of Music in Washington, D.C. So Duke Ellington was like 70% black, 30% white. Seneca Valley, which was in Germantown, was like 50-50. But in Baltimore where I lived, I'd say I lived in a predominantly... I'd say like 80% black on our street. Like it was just like black. The Myers family.
You remember some of the family names?
There's a lot of Johnsons.
Just going to say Johnson.
The black people, most of their name is John. If you look at like an NFL roster.
Sure.
Like the Johnson. Redskins have like 45 people named Johnson on it.
Anything just crazy and like outrageous? Like
Mbutu?
As a last name?
There was an African family that lived like two doors down.
Fuck yeah.
So they were pretty cool. Yeah.
And so what? So you wanted to be a... Because you were around that. Well, you were like, hey,
I had a short window where I wanted to be a black dude. Like, I still kind of want to be black because like...
Don't we all?
It's just like a... There's something... I get along so well with black people.
For sure.
Like more than I think I get along with white people. Like it's incredible.
Why
how
do you think that is?
Because I just... They think it's just... They say I have swag. They're just like, man, there's something about you.
They like
man.
White
just,
dudes with swag.
They just, I get it. Because I think it's
confidence.
The voice. I think it's the voice. And I also think it's the fact that I don't look at them like they're black. I just talk to them like, you know, but then I don't know. I have no fucking idea. They just really like me. Maybe it's the fact that I have references I reference like 70s blaxploitation movies. I have like a deep reference bank, and they just get along with me.
So like you reference like specific movies like Foxy Brown and stuff like that. They're like,
yeah.
Oh shit.
A lot of Shaft. It's always Shaft. I go to Shaft a lot.
Do they like that?
Who knows?
Is Shaft like a go-to reference for the black community?
They're probably, as soon as I leave, they're probably like, this motherfucker's cool as shit. And
is Shaft,
I walk away.
Is Shaft the white equivalent of Dumb and Dumber?
No. Or the black Shaft is like the equivalent. What movie? That's like the black Back to the Future, I guess.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Black Back to the Future.
By the way, let's just get that movie going. Black Back to the Future?
There's no way, because black people wouldn't want to go back to the past. If they had to go back to 1950, like,
oh my God, that is brilliant.
Like, why would they?
That is so fucking funny. Wow. Yeah, why would a black guy want to go back in time?
You do never see like a time-traveling movie with a black guy.
Because why would they?
Oh my God. Because they hop, they hop out of the fucking time machine. It's like, hey, you, get over here. I own you now. What the shit?
You only go back to about, like, what, 20
years ago?
Like
1980? Maybe when hip-hop started?
Go back to fucking when cassettes were popular?
It's like, people want to go back maybe to like when Cisco came out. You know what I'm saying? Like Thong Song, which is like 2001. Because at that point was when it's always been beautiful. It's always been cool. But I mean, it was more like, it was like the 2000s is when it became completely like, it's like white people. It's just like, you know, there are white people that are like teens that all they listen to is like YG and fucking Meek Mills. And these are like really, I mean, not gangsta hip hop, but it's like, it's just the worst. It's the worst music. You know that song?
Oh, really?
That song, you know, My Nigga, that's out right now. It's like, I will die for my motherfucking heart. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's like the number one song right now.
In
America. Like, I don't know if it really is, but
you got,
that's
like,
what.
And you get like junior high white kids that live on cul-de-sacs, like singing that and like bobbing their heads. Like,
well, dude, I bought
good.
My head to getting jiggy with it, but that was pretty, like, pretty harmless of
when
a song.
I DJed high school dances and middle school dances for all through college.
Holy
from like
crap.
2000 Me until too. Like 2000. Did you really?
Yes. DJ 4 Foot.
I didn't have a name.
You didn't have a name?
No, dude, because I was
That's
just
the
like,
best part about being a DJ.
Like, I'm just collecting the paycheck, bro.
Oh, my
like,
God.
He probably had this thing like, DJ 4 Foot.
I did.
On the ones and twos. 4 4 4 foot 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 in your face. Melting faces.
What was your go-to track? All it was like Michael Winslow on a microphone doing that.
It was like just you like hiding underneath the thing just like trying to say it.
DJ 4 Foot.
DJ 4 Foot. Melting faces.
Why would you not have a name?
Because I worked for a company called Ultrasound DJs, which they were very like, the whole thing was
DJing
like
to babies. What the fuck?
No. That was the thing. It's like, first the two guys that created it. I love these guys. Like, I was
this sonogram needs a soundtrack.
Your baby's got a penis.
I went to University of Maryland for like 1 year. And while I was there, I met this dude and he was like, you know, hey man, you got a good personality. How would you ever thought about being like a wedding DJ? And I was like, really?
And you had these pipes at this point.
Yeah, well, I think my voice was a little bit of higher. Yeah. Like, I think, like, people, I remember I used to say I sounded like Harvey Fierstein a little bit.
For sure.
It was a little bit, it was a little bit higher, like up here.
Oh, Harvey. That's the gay friend from Independence Day, right?
Yes.
Yes. Oh,
he's like,
gay friend.
Well, no,
he's Robin Williams' brother from Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, yes. That too. Yeah.
So,
this is our best work ever.
I love that
guy.
Oh,
my God, Mom. Yes, of course, Mom. Yes, he's fine.
When I had my Saturday Night Live showcase, I did it at the iOS like last year when Brooks and everybody did it. Uh-huh. And and mine was I did a Harvey Fierstein like explaining Passover.
Hilarious.
And then at the end, God, he'd be like, and then Pharaoh's like, let's release the Jews, and that's Passover. Now can I suck your dick? That was it. That was like, he explained the whole thing.
God,
and it always,
funny.
Everything was like, can I suck your dick?
That's hilarious. It's
so,
that's a really great impression.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you very much. So I was a DJ and somebody recruited me, and I go to this company, and the two guys that ran the company were like, they were the nicest dudes in the world. Their whole image was like clean cut entertainment. Right. No swear words. All the songs were clean. Like, we could play hip hop, but like, it was all clean versions
like,
of it.
Like Chumbawamba.
Oh, that was 1998 when that came out. This is like 2000 when I started.
Oh, okay.
So this is prior to 9/11.
So what was some of your? Okay.
Just to give you an idea, like, I remember I DJed a wedding around 9/11, and
what were the top three that you would play?
Oh, dude, it was well it, for
9/11 wedding.
I want a 9/11 story that's so fucking funny, dude. I don't. It's this,
fire away, man. Yeah, it's dark, like weird, funny. Let's fucking
this because this is probably we're talking about 9/11. Okay. You're a huge Seattle fan, right?
Huge.
I'm a huge Washington Wizards fan. Like I am an enormous like I love the Redskins and I love the Wizards.
Yo,
like,
I know it was Gilbert Arenas and
dude. I went to 90% of the games that year because I worked for a TV show that taped in DC, and like all I was doing was just walking over, and you'd get like $10 tickets, and I'd get in around the second half. I was there when Gilbert hit the three at like the last second and threw his arms out and turned around against Utah. Like I mean, that was Milwaukee. Nice. The next night at Utah, like everything, dude. Huge fan.
So you're working.
This is
to a post for Bernard King.
Oh, dude, Michael Adams, dude. Look at my phone, dude. Look at my the two guys I have on my phone.
Oh, look at that, Manute Bol, right?
I got Muggsy and Manute Bol playing Muggsy bass.
Do you claim George Mirason?
Oh, don't get me started. That's my fucking dog, dude. I fucking love George Mirason more.
First time that sentence has ever been uttered. George Mirason is my dog.
How could you not like him, though? He's 7'7". He fucking had no talent. He just was the most... There was this one game. He dropped like 35 points. Mm-hmm. And like that was the coolest thing I'd ever seen in my whole life.
Stars
like,
in a movie with Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a big deal.
He came from the middle of fucking nowhere where like Borat's from. You know what I'm saying? Like he had nothing. But this story takes place, of course, around 9/11. Okay?
Sit down, kids. Get your s'mores ready.
That's most great stories do, yeah.
So the night before 9/11, on November 10th.
You mean September 10th?
September 10th, yeah. What did I say, November?
Yeah, that was the night before 9/11.
What 9/11 you talking about, man? I'm talking about when I called 911. All right. So I was watching I think it was the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Miami Dolphins on Monday Night Football. Right. And I'm in school at my buddy's house at University of Maryland, and we're watching the game, and I'm like on the ticker underneath, like, you know, some plays going on, and there's that little like sports ticker that's got the scores of whatever games for that night, and underneath it says Michael Jordan to announce his unretirement as owner and to become a player for the Washington Wizards. Press conference to follow at 9 a.m. tomorrow. So I'm like wigging out. The next day, I wake up at 8. 7:45. I go to my class. I get out of class around like 8:45 in the morning, and I walk down to the student union, and there's like all these kids around this television, and I'm like, oh shit, press conference. And I just book into the crowd like, Wizards, Jordan, in your face, Jordan, oh motherfucker. And then the second plane hit the building, and I'm just like,
oh my God,
like, what's going on here, man? Did anybody see if there was a Michael Jordan press conference coming up?
Oh my God. That is insane.
But I was like screaming Jordan. Like, the country Jordan.
Yeah, it's like, dude, our country is being attacked. You're like, that's right. Jordan going to be dropping bombs from downtown.
Jordan in your face. Dude, I got dark hair, too. So people probably were like,
shit. Yeah, you definitely got a couple of like some angry looks.
Oh, it was very embarrassing. And then I just went back to my buddy's house and got high. And I was like, let's forget about that whole incident.
For sure.
So this would be a good story for a podcast 14 years later. You know what I'm saying?
That was incredible when Jordan came back for you guys.
No, it wasn't. He ruined the team. Michael Jordan ruined the Wizards, dude. Michael Jordan, think about this, right? This is the best way to explain Michael Jordan's tenure as a Wizard, right? He traded away Ben Wallace, Richard Hamilton, and one more player. Rasheed Wallace.
Oh, that's right.
Rasheed Wallace. Because we had Rasheed Wallace.
Antoine Jameson?
No, that was later. Remember we had Chris Webber, Juwan Howard, Rasheed Wallace, Robert Pack. We had Mark Price and Brent Price on the team.
Oh, yeah,
we had Jim McElvey and we had Ben Wallace. Now, Ben Wallace wasn't anybody when he played for the Wizards, but he had potential. He started rebounding and then we traded him away. And Richard Hamilton and Rip Hamilton, he gave all three of them to the Pistons.
To the Pistons, yeah.
Which won a championship 2 years later.
Oh, jeez.
And who'd you get for those guys?
Mitch Richmond. We got Mitch Richmond and Jerry Stackhouse at the end of their careers.
45-year-old Mitch Richmond, 38-year-old Jerry Stackhouse.
All he did was tarnish his image a little bit. Like, Michael Jordan was the best player I've ever seen. And when he played for the Wizards, he did great. He scored 63 points in a game when he played for the Wizards.
When he's 40.
And that is incredible. But at the same time, we never made the playoffs. he looked horrible in a blue jersey. Like, it was like one of those things that's like, weird. You don't want to see. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like when Joe, I mean, I wasn't alive, but it's like seeing footage of like Joe Namath playing for the Rams. You're like, that's weird.
He played for the Rams?
Yeah.
See, I didn't even know that because nobody Joe talks
Namath.
About that.
Yeah. Joe Namath at the end of his career played for the Rams. And you see old videos of that. You're like, ugh.
Yeah. Like Joe Montana played for the Chiefs. You remember that?
Yeah.
And didn't
yeah.
do anything.
Because he well,
won three Super Bowls with the 49ers. Yeah. Didn't do dick with the fucking Chiefs.
He beat my damn Broncos on a Monday night game against Elway. That broke my fucking heart. But other than that, you did shit.
Hey, dude. Speaking of your heart being broken in the Broncos.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to talk about this.
Brad and I just came back from the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, yeah. We went. And we haven't.
Have you recovered? Because I've never seen him more genuinely bummed out.
Well, you're a Broncos fan.
Die hard. For my lifelong Broncos fan.
How old are you?
30.
30?
Just turned 30. And here's the thing. Thank you to the podcast listeners. First of all, your responses have been incredible. I mean, we did that one podcast right before the Super Bowl where we said the hashtag suck a Seahawk dick, and we got so many fucking tweets.
Yeah, I came up with that was going to be like my cheer at the game was suck a Seahawk dick, and people just, I mean,
it ran
it's sad
it.
that was like what really broke the Twitter. Like people just hitting me up nonstop with suck a Seahawk dick, and I'm like, all right, like now I feel like you're like, you know, accosting me. I know that's out of support, but like,
yeah, right.
And here's the thing is. I know you guys have been begging for like do the Super Bowl follow up show. It's like I couldn't. I was not in a mental state.
That was a tough game. Oh, that was a tough. I mean,
well, we
game.
Paid money for the tickets. We go all the way out there. That's a journey.
Did you have shows while you were out there too, both?
Yeah,
of you?
Yeah. Just so one.
Well, that's good. At least you got the shows in.
For sure. And we stayed at a pal's place that was able to make the rent free.
Okay,
so that helped. But like the whole journey, and Brad was like, yo. Two of my best friends from Seattle were there, so it was three Hawks fans, one Broncos fan. And there's a lot of orange, but Brad's like, hey, it's going to be a great game, so I don't care that I'm outnumbered fan-wise.
Sure.
Right, let's go and have a good time.
But
sure.
But to spend as much money as we... Like, when people say, like, hey, how was the experience? I'm like, well, I spent X amount of dollars to watch something I love get sexually assaulted for 4 hours.
Yeah, and I came away with zero amount of fun. And that's why I was trying to get him to like rush the field at halftime, because I was like, yo, man, salvage this experience with something.
Even at halftime, you knew it was over? Like, you figured it was over? It looked so bad.
I looked at him. I had to look at him with a concerned friend. I mean, dude, I would check in with him I'd be like, Peyton, the best offense, man. You could throw three touchdowns at 22-0. And Brad's like, and there still was hope at that point.
No, at 22-0 is not out of reach. Whatsoever. No,
not for Peyton. But
it wasn't until
soon as Percy ran that thing back, you're like, all right.
It's over.
And I try to contain my enthusiasm, but like me and my friends are jumping on each other.
Fuck that, dude.
Grabbing each other. And I just look down and Brad's in his phone and I was like, God, I just like
I feel bad. Well, listen, you know what? First of all, fuck both of y'all, because the Redskins haven't been there in 20 years. So, dude,
yeah,
the last
true.
Time I remember being like the Redskins Super Bowl,
Mark Rippon?
I was 11.
Yeah.
I was 11.
Mark Rippon, Art Monk.
It's just constant. We do good for 1 year, and then we suck for four. And then we're good for one.
Dan
and then
Snyder pays one guy $2 billion a year, and he says, fuck this, I'm good.
Well, no, I think our new coach is going to be where it's at. I don't know. I say that
Who's
every time.
Who's new coach? Oh, it's
Hazlitt.
It's
John Hazlitt, not Jim Hazlitt, right? No, that's our defensive coordinator. It's the guy Gruden.
Yeah, it's
John Gruden.
Jay Gruden. Yeah. It's his brother. You got him offensive coordinator from Cincinnati Bengals. And you know what? You're right. And I was just sitting there going, you know what? It was a great season. Best offense statistically in history. We're good. But then the whole time, I just look up. And
yeah,
by the way,
when you see
a sad midget.
When you see
it makes you sad, dude. I got extra sad. Yeah. I got more sad than normal.
Yeah, because if it was just been me, you would have been like, "Is that right?"
But
yeah,
you'll get. I'll be like, in your face.
Yeah, I'll be like, you'll get through this. Yeah.
Like you see a sad midget, it's that poster of a kid with an ice cream cone with his one ice cream scoop on the floor.
Hilarious.
It's that times 1,000.
Yeah, dude.
Sad midget is just the most depressing thing ever.
It was, like, dude. It bummed me out for a minute, and then I immediately was just. Then I looked at the field and the scoreboard, and I was like, "Oh yeah, that's right. This is great.
This is why I
can't." But rushing the field would have been a great move, because Red Hot Chili Peppers were playing. You're going to tell me if a midget runs on stage with a shirt off throwing cookies in the audience, people are going to think that's not part of the show?
That would have been great.
Yeah.
Do you think you even could have gotten that far, though?
You know what?
I honestly think you could have done it. Like, no joke. Like, it sounds crazy.
I thought about it at the time. I was like, well, my team's not doing shit.
Yeah, man.
Why not?
Can you imagine?
Like, give it away. He just runs up there with a bunch of Thin Mints.
Dude, even if they did tackle him, I'm sure everyone in the Chili Peppers would make sure to, like, pull you out out of that and hoist you up on the fucking.
Yeah, exactly that. And if I'm chucking Thin Mints at people, if a naked midget runs on a football field and chucks you a Thin Mint and you catch it, you're like, I'm pretty sure if I eat this, I live forever.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome.
I'm a god at this point.
Where would you have gotten naked? Would you got like, are you like in the cut and you're like, all right, I'm about to do this.
I think you strip now. Yeah, you can't be naked before you enter the field.
Yeah.
You have a giveaway.
Yeah, you can't just be waiting there in the hall like, what are you doing naked? Just hanging.
If me and you, like, he could hide a lot better than us.
Oh, sure.
So you could literally, that's what I'm saying, hide in the cut, disrobe, and then just take off.
Or maybe somehow find another.
Who's going to grab you?
Just buy some oversized starter jacket, throw it over myself, and be like, all right, go.
Yeah, some naked kid running up to you the flea right
dude,
now.
Dude, you find a kid who's short, like what the Muppets did, and you stack yourself on top of him and put a trench coat around yourself.
There you go. That's
so you seem
the
like
strategy.
One giant person.
Oh, that's brilliant.
But listen, the best part about the game wasn't, for me, obviously for Adam is watching the game. But
I've been high since then, man. And people have been congratulating me all week. I genuinely go, thank you. I forgot how much emotion you invest in that game. I feel like I contributed. People were like, congrats. I'm like, yeah, man, those 15 beers at halftime really helped us run the ball better. Yeah. I did my part.
Yeah.
You feel like you did.
You feel the same amount of pride that you feel when someone like looks at your nieces and says, hey, your niece did something amazing. You're like, fuck, yeah, she did. It's like, hey, it's the true. Hawks did something. You're like, fucking screw my nieces. Let's talk about the Hawks
for
3 hours.
You feel like you actually helped. Isn't that crazy?
Well, this is also for you, man. Like, Seattle hasn't won a championship in like 30 years, I think.
I know.
Like since like before I was born, I think they won right before they beat the Bullets, I think.
Well, here's, and I'll bring this point up because there's a whole, the WNBA Seattle Storm have won 2 championships, and actually the star center of the team flipped out on Twitter about it because everyone's like, everyone is like, you guys haven't won anything since the Sonics. And she's like, hey, we won 2 championships in the last 5 years. And everyone's like,
you're like, yeah, and Adam Ray won 3 ping pong matches in his basement in Seattle. Right. It's about the same significance to the city.
Right. Now, what is your take on that, though? Like, should they, I mean, they should have a right to be upset as WNBA players.
I don't think people really.
But guess what? WNBA hasn't. Here's why I think you're full of shit, Lauren Jackson, and you can tweet at me at Adam Ray Comedy if you want to start a Twitter feud.
Let's do it.
By the way, you could probably kick my ass on and off the court.
Sure.
Because she's 7 feet tall and she's
absolutely
from Australia.
7 feet tall?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
So anyway,
Big pussy. Big pussy, man.
She 88-year-old pussy and 7-foot pussy.
There was a 6'8" chick that used to work at his restaurant that I worked at that wanted me so bad. Yeah. Like, she was so tall,
six,
man.
6'8"?
At least. She was like, and I was like, you play volleyball? She's like, nah, man. And she was so tall. And then like, I kept turning her down, and then we went and had this hotel party, and I walked into the bathroom, and this guy that was shorter than me was just fucking her on, like, she was, like, laying on the toilet, and her legs were over top of him, like, kicking him, like, in the back of his knees.
Yes.
And, I didn't fuck her. Thank God I didn't. But, I mean, like, I just, that would have been...
Brett, would you ever jump down that path?
Tallest girl I ever slept with was 6 feet tall. She was a volleyball player at USC.
That seemed like it was 6 feet.
Good for you.
And, yeah, that was... While it's happening, like, I was barely... I just started stand-up. And, like, while it's happening, I'm looking around like, this is the... Like, I'm... Yes, I'm having sex right now, but this is the funniest thing I've ever witnessed. Like, if I were to walk in on this right now, I would lose my
shit. I'd love to be a fly in the wall, fucking a six-foot-four girl, dude.
Dude, there is a group of flies somewhere that is fucking has poker nights and talk about the shit they've seen Brad
dude,
do.
I saw Brad Williams just fucking this 6'2" bitch, man. Just fucking,
you don't even know.
Craziest shit I ever seen. What were you going to say was the best part of the Super Bowl?
Well, I like how we made the flies like old Jewish guys. You were like, craziest thing I've ever seen. I've ever seen is a crazy
Pause. All right, so I'm down at Cantor's Deli, right? By the way, this is the pastrami. It's on sale now, so go down and pick up yourself a nice Reuben. But so, Brad Williams, little guy. Denise, big girl, he's fucking her. In the bathroom stall, legs up. Got a little cum on me.
It just gets quiet. That's all you need.
And everybody at the table's like, yeah, well, that's don't get that close.
Yeah.
That's your problem. Close,
I was going to say, the best part of the Super Bowl for me was game's done, right? And we're on this bus.
After we met Gail.
Oh,
Gail Sayers?
No, Gail Sayers. Yeah.
Everyone says that. No. And I thought there was only one Gail. Oprah's Gail.
Oprah's Gail.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Oprah's all beard. Right. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I've been better with Gail Sayers,
Hey, you know, I high-fived Gail. That's like, you know, one, you know, two steps separation to Oprah. Why not? So we're there on the bus, and the bus is driving us back to Manhattan. Now,
to the StubHub. We bought the tickets. StubHub had a big shuttle and the place where you go pregame to get like drinks and food and like.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was great.
Well, they better for the price that they're probably giving these tickets at.
Yeah, exactly. This is about 45 minutes away from where the place we're staying at is in Manhattan.
But we cross the bridge to get from New Jersey to New York. And our group kind of looks up and goes,
we're in the front. We're in the front seat.
Very front seat of the bus. And we're like, dude, we're right by our apartment where we're staying. Like, we're two blocks away.
Let's be fair. I said that. Yeah. I'm taking full control in the story.
Absolutely.
Because I made this shit happen. But continue to tell it.
Adam's like, dude, we're right by the place. We're like, what?
Two streets away. Like, I saw, I think it was on, like, well, whatever the street names were. It was, like, two blocks from there. We were at a stop, like, pulling up to it at a stoplight.
But then this bus is going to drop us off on the complete other side of the island.
And we're going to have to cab it fucking $90 back.
Yeah. So we start talking, and Adam comes up with this brilliant
idea. I was like, we got to get off. There's no way we're going to get, we're right here.
Yeah.
And so I just have this, like,
Ray,
in situations like that.
Say what happened.
Did you fake a heart attack or something?
Better.
That would have been a great call.
Better.
I'm just like, how can we immediately get off this bus? We pull up to the light.
I shit myself.
And this is why Brad's a great dude, because he was like, yo, man, let's just, like, stay on. Let's not cause a scene. Because it would have been kind of chaotic. And he's like, you're on the bus, and you don't want to hassle the bus driver and whatever. And I was like, no, dude, we're literally, and I don't think you knew exactly how close we were.
Yeah.
Apartment.
Right.
And he's like, let's just stay, whatever. I was like, dude, we're fucking, it's like right there. And I just leaned over the bus driver. I'm the seat behind him. And I just lean up right into his ear and I go, hey, bro, I'm about 6 minutes away from shitting my pants.
I knew it.
I go, I live right over there. I go, you got to let us off. And he just turns over and goes and hits the thing and opens the door. And he goes, get off. And I was like, thank you. And I go, come on. And we just ran off.
At the same time, though,
power of the shit pants, dude.
Yes.
People do not want to be around that.
Yeah.
He knew there was going to be a bus cleanup after that. He knew it was going to distract the whole rest of the fucking patrons on the bus.
Yeah. Right. And it's not me, because if it's the midget saying, I got to shit my pants, the bus driver might say, I kind of want you to stick around for that. I don't know what comes out of a midget's ass. I don't know. It could be something fun.
Wow,
I'm not sure.
Really?
I don't know.
Is there mystique around you pooping?
I don't know. Not quite sure. I don't know how the tall people think.
I think if you would have...
I don't know how the tall people think is the name of either your next children's book series.
Absolutely.
Or some sort of like coffee table book.
I think if you just would have said to the bus driver, hey man, we live right there, he probably would have stopped anyway. Because
I went back to elementary school where you try to con the bus driver into some shit.
I've tried to use shit to get out of tickets before. There was a time right around a year ago from now. I had this general at the Disney Animation, and it was like this great meeting where the guy's like, I'm going to start getting you in and do voices for our cartoons. And I was like,
this is great. Should be, by the way.
And
you should be the voice of every cartoon.
Thank you, baby. So should you. This is something we should work on.
I know.
All three of us. We all got good, interesting voices. We can make this happen tonight.
And we're going to segue into my favorite, the way you utilize your voice in just a moment. Okay. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Danny Glover. Ever find yourself dying to do some putt-putt golf, but also you got a hunger for mac and cheese? Well, come on down to Danny Glover's Putt-Putt and Cheese Mac Shop. Yeah, that's right. We switch around mac and cheese just to confuse you a little bit, but it's still mac and cheese. Putt-putt's $2.99 for six rounds or $4 for one round. Haven't quite figured out the deals yet, but it's on the corner of 42 and 2nd Street. Where is that? Fuck if I know. I'm high as shit right now.
Welcome back to the About Last Night podcast. Josh Adam Myers.
That was the most racist black person voice I've ever heard.
My Danny Glover.
Danny Glover's more like, Riggs Murdoch.
That's a great Glover.
It's got to be low.
I started doing that.
Oh, the Predator. Oh,
hey,
shit.
Hey, you got
an angel with you right now.
Yeah. Oh, see, I don't know about the Angels in the Outfield, but I knew the reference, but I haven't seen that.
What?
I'm a Predator 2 kind of Lethal Weapon.
Weapon Glover I'll take any day of the week, but I'll always take Angels in the Outfield Glover.
Surprised none of you have mentioned Operation Dumbo Drop. I thought that was a classic.
Holy now shit. You're reaching, dude. I don't fucking.
Who else was in that movie?
Dennis Leary? I know that for a fact, and that's the only one. I just know Dennis Leary and Danny Glover. That's it.
Operation Dumbo Drop. Operation that movie Dumbo got Drop. Made. Let's just take a moment to let that sink in. That movie
got greenlit.
Yeah. People worked on a budget for that. Like, but how much are we going to? Is $10 million going to be? No, I think we're going to need at least $20 million.
Do we need a real elephant or a CGI elephant? How do we get the elephant in there?
And at one point, they have to budget in for the elephant.
Yep.
Oh, that's
and what actors can play alongside the elephant. I would just like
Dennis Leary, apparently.
I would like to be the actor receiving. But I guess work is work, and it's a Disney movie, so you're probably like, sure. All right.
yeah, this could be the next Mighty Ducks. No, it's going to be the first Operation Dumbo Drop.
The first and only dropping of Dumbos.
But Mighty Ducks probably cost nothing to make. Look at the act. The main actor in it was Emilio Estevez.
Yeah.
He probably worked for scale. he was happy to be working.
He's like, listen, I just don't want to hit up my brother Charlie for any more money.
Yeah,
so
dude,
they gave
him like a movie poster and a lunchbox that when you press the back of it went quack, quack.
I bet you that movie cost $3 million to make.
Yeah, for sure.
And it probably grossed
$25 million.
Go to Box Office Mojo. They'll tell you right now.
All right, I
constantly do that shit. Like when I watch it on television, all I do are like movies. No, I'm always like with movies. I'm always like I'm always on IMDb looking at the
star rankings.
Not the star rankings, but the
where is Jessica Biel this month? Is she 2,460
I look at the like when you're watching a movie. Don't you like go on IMDb and look at like the trivia about each movie? And
for sure.
Like, oh, okay. So that was this guy auditioned for it, and then I go on
those
Box
cool
Office
stories.
Mojo. Yeah. Then I go on Box Office Mojo, and I like to see how much it cost. And how much it made.
Nice.
And then, yeah, I don't really actually watch anything anymore. I just I'm on IMDb.
So how much did Cool Runnings make in its opening weekend?
Hey, I'm still on Mighty Ducks. Hold on.
Here we go. Realistically, it probably cost $6 million to make.
All right.
Cool Runnings?
No, Cool Runnings probably a little bit more. Bobsled.
Opening week.
You got to factor in bobsled costs.
Bobsled, you got some training.
Yeah.
Opening weekend made $6 million.
But how much did it cost?
Production budget $10 million.
What did I say?
Yeah.
I said 10, right?
You did, yeah.
Yeah, and then so made.
I said 3, and then I went up to 10.
Right, so started with $10 million to make.
Don't tell me the brother price. It probably made. Shit, I want to say it's between 35 and 60. I'm going to say realistically,
right?
It made $47 million.
God, you're good. $50
million. Oh, God, dude.
Wow.
Yeah, Mighty Ducks made $50
million. How much did the second one make?
All right, I could do that. Hold on. D2. D2. Ooh.
Ducks are back, baby.
All right.
That was the one where they put in the Olympics.
No, D2. D2 was the Olympics, and then D3 was the college one.
Yeah, but D3 was not like a real Mighty Ducks movie.
No.
Emilio Estevez was in it for like 5 minutes.
Yeah,
because they've been showing them a lot on like Encore, and so I've been watching them.
I thought you were going to say like on the PAX channel.
Maybe that's what.
What airs on the PAX channel?
Transformers. They got like weird Blaze, shit like that.
Steel Magnolias.
The
movie K-Pax, and that's about it.
It's just all they show is K-Pax and occasionally Phenomena with the other
game. Wow,
Phenomena. Great
is that
movie.
What it is?
Phenomena with John Travolta.
Thank you.
Weird.
Where he gets not struck by lightning, like a meteor, right? Or no?
Who gives a fuck, man?
He's seducing massage therapy.
Absolutely. That's
what happened after he got struck by lightning.
He was never the same. Travolta was never the same after he did
Phenomena.
He's
the best,
he got
though,
so into character.
He's
so
the coolest,
weird.
Though, man. I mean, come on. An iconic movie. You're telling me you wouldn't want that guy's career in some regard? He made some of the best movies of all time.
Absolutely.
You're 100%. Listen, I'm not putting him down. His movies now are crap. I think here's the thing. I think it would be better to end your career strong than start it strong and then fade down. You know what I mean? Because there's certain actors that like I think McConaughey is going to be the most respected. He's going to be up there with like a Brando in the next like 20 years.
Yeah, because he got Dallas Buyers Club, and then on HBO, are you watching True Detective?
Which is the best show on television.
Holy,
it's the best show I've ever seen.
Is this show good?
It's up there with any
True
show
Detective.
I've
amazing.
Ever seen.
Yeah,
but what about everything prior to that? It's like
that's
he also
what I'm
started
saying.
Strong, and he's maybe, even though like Ghost of Girlfriends passed or like, you know, other shit, but it's like he hasn't really had a lot of fucking duds, man. Like Sahara or whatever, still a fucking entertaining.
Yeah, but that was a dud. Lost a lot of money
for sure. But he also he finds things to grab back onto, to getting into Tropic Thunder or
Wolf
of Wall Street.
Sure.
Like, he's also just so good that it's like, and it's impossible to have everything be a hit. I mean, Sandler's a great example of that. It's like, but to keep getting work, it's like there's something about you that people are like, well, fuck, man. Like, all right, that one didn't work, but like,
yeah,
but
he's about to do Nolan's next movie, which is going to be the shit. And from this point on, like in the last like few years, he's worked with Soderbergh, he's worked with Scorsese, he's worked with Nolan, he's worked with
Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, well, dude, that show is, that show just blew my mind.
What do they do? What do they do in the show?
It's just the shit, dude. Slow draw.
Right.
Slow draw. Been building every episode. It's only eight episodes long, and then next year it's going to be a totally different story, totally different actors, but it's still going to be True Detective. But yeah. it's just McConaughey is just.
They just solve really intense cases.
No, it's just one case.
One case that lasts a full.
Is there money in that case? Like Deal or No Deal?
You're fucking retarded. That's brilliant.
You know what?
$25,000.
You know what? That's a joke where that was like the
that was
hit.
Good though.
Where like you thought like, you all right, that hit's gonna be caught by the shortstop, but then it goes over the shortstop. You're like, oh fuck, I forgot. The shortstop's 5'2". And
that's funny.
That's a damn hit. So well done, Adam.
Good. Yeah, thank you. You got me because you said it, and I was like, "Oh, you motherfucker!" I was like, "That means it was good."
Was there a game show as a kid that you masturbated over the thought of getting onto? And I know, first of all, let me just say, Josh Adam Myers, amazing comedian. Where are you on Twitter, by the way?
At Josh Adam Myers. Well, it's not
that com. You're a phenomenal stand-up commer.
Thank you. I'm great at commerce. Commerce Casino. I'm like the biggest comic in Commerce Casino. It's me and Rudy Moreno.
Oh God, good reference, sir.
Why I enjoy your friendship too is you call me out on my excessive amount of 90s references.
Your Twitter and your Facebook posts are I'd say 98%. So, you know, there's nothing cooler than ectoplasmic slime from Ghostbusters. Everybody knows Slimer. That's a good day.
Well, that's in my defense, that is way
that's a hilarious post.
That's
by the way
nerdier than something I would write. Mine are a little more clever with like having a bad day. Not as bad as Jesse Spano the day she had to take pills before the big meet. You know?
I'm so excited.
Yeah. And then Josh wrote to me one day where he was like, you have more 90s references than all your social media is filled with 90s references. And I go, Josh, I know you're trying to put me down. I was like, kind of like the time that fucking, Donkey Lips got put down on that episode of Salute Your Shorts. Like, it was something like, or like, kind of like,
great.
Like, you know, you're really, whatever it was.
But there's nothing wrong because it's like, I'm 34. How old are you? You said you're 30?
42.
He's 30. You're not 42. I'm 34. How old are you?
31.
You're 31. Yeah. So you were born, and that's a huge like chunk of our lives. So that does mean a lot, and that's most of my memories. You
also,
know what
was going on in your life? Like for me, it's like TV became a little because you know when my all the shit with my folks splitting up and like the fat kid teasing stuff, man. You go to a safe place for a little bit where you're like, where can I be accepted with no judgment and also feel good about myself?
And guess what? And that's in the Winslow House on Family Matters.
That was a good night. TGIF.
Hey,
was
dude, when my dad wasn't around, guess who was? Reginald Bell Johnson.
Damn right he was.
Guess what?
I shot a kid. he was Die Hard. Remember? He's like,
oh, yeah.
Die Hard.
He's like, what'd you do? And he goes, shot a kid. I shot a kid.
Is that his only line in the whole movie?
No, he's got the whole line. Yeah, he's got the whole he's such a big part of one and two.
Sure,
you know, but in one, like it's, that was the he's like they never tell you what to do when you draw a gun. You know, you're gonna use it, but I shot a kid. That's his line. Yeah.
Wait, so what game show though?
I there's two. Well, there's three.
And then
right?
Brad, I want to hear what your answer is.
I already got mine chambered.
Because I don't think ever in the history of our friendship I've asked you that. And game shows were a big part of my growing up. And guess what? To this day, I could give you 20 game shows from 1993 that should be primetime shows right now.
Nice.
I'd want to be on, but I don't want to do it then. I want to do it right now because the shape that I'm in, I think I'd be great on Guts.
Yes, that was my choice number one.
Pull up the theme song and see if we can all sing.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. I'd kill the aggro crag right now.
Mo, let's go to Mo with the results, Mo. Ishmael from Israel is in the first place with the blue team with 22 points.
Or no, it was always a lot of points. You got like 1,000 points.
Yeah, 32,000 points.
Just showing up and like putting like, the jersey on, you got 800 points.
Yeah, dude.
And it was always like, fair game.
It's like Pavel Shapovsky from Russia has 22,000 points. That's right. The kids are from different countries. Yeah, I remember that.
And they made it seem like real entertaining. Like they took it really seriously. Like, I don't know.
The aggro crag was 15 feet tall. They made it seem like it was 1,000 feet. They made it seem like you climbed the Jolly Green Giant's beanstalk to get there. Do you have it? No.
Yeah.
Dude, DJ Jazzy Jeff was spinning this, I think.
Sounds like it, doesn't it?
Aggro crag. Guts. Guts.
Oh my God, memory.
Key change.
Guts. Guts.
Michael Malley's best work.
Yes, he was.
He was the host of that.
You know,
yeah, that's a great call, dude. You would crush that show.
Now. Yeah. Back then, I would be horrible.
Not when you were 12.
Not when I was 12.
Now.
Because I'm, you know, CrossFit's trained me for the guts.
I
wish so badly that that was the reason you started CrossFit.
In the
back of your head, like, guts is coming back.
I'm doing power cleans, and I'm just like, I'll see you at the K-12.
I'll see you at the aggro crag. Like, dude, Josh is fucking always humming the theme from Guts.
Wonder why. Man, and then, like, for me, like, one of the events that always started off was the event where they would have the basketball.
In the pool.
They would have a bungee cord attached to them. They would jump down, hit the court, and then jump up and dunk. And as a midget, like, that's the only way I'm going to ever be able to dunk.
The only way I could ever do it.
Get me on Guts.
Dude,
let's make this happen.
Dude, that would be amazing. Also, an all little people Guts would be.
Why wouldn't you do that just to see them run alone? That's worth the price of admission.
That would be great.
Oh, my God. Midgets running is the best.
That would be. All right. So
there was another show. Do you remember Funhouse?
Come on, dude.
With
JD Roth.
Yeah, man.
I would want to do
Funhouse
that.
Funhouse is great.
And then of course Double Dare. Like, but everybody wanted to do Double Dare, and that's such a go-to answer, you know what I mean?
Yeah, just make sure it's Double Dare, not Family Double Dare.
No,
because when the moms and dads got involved made the kids nervous or tried to. Although Double Dare, when you go back and watch it, filthy as fuck. And Mark Summers, like, shit on these kids. He'd be like, Teresa, so it says here your favorite subject is math. And she'd be like, yeah. He's like, oh, what's 4 times 12? And she's like, he's like, oh, it looks like a study on her. Like, fucking James, it says here you like dragons, you fucking, you know, fucking nerd or whatever. Like, he was just like, anyway, but his banter was so awful. But then the way he described some of these games, like, there was one I watched later. I YouTubed a bunch of clips one night when I got high with a buddy, and it was the most entertaining 2 hours of the fucking last year. That's hey man, that's one of the benefits of being single right now. You can sneak away and YouTube Double Dare and not have somebody fucking chiming at you.
That is beautiful.
And by the way, full episodes on YouTube, and I did not know that because I just put into YouTube Double Dare.
Invest in a couple nights where you're watching some of these clips, because Mark Summers goes, all right, Dad, if you're gonna come over me at this game, you're gonna squirt this white cream rinse into your son's face. That's why I put the goggles on. And you're like, whoa, white cream rinse. Yeah, go ahead and play.
Put it by your crotch. Shake it.
And Mom, you're going to eat that cream rinse right out of the bucket. If you can eat it in less than 60 seconds, you guys are going to win a Casio keyboard and a Huffy bike that's already been rode.
I remember the...
ridden.
All I wanted really was just the t-shirt. The Double Dare t-shirt. Because that would be like the equivalent of walking, like, I remember the way I felt when I was the first kid in my elementary school with Reebok pumps. Like, everybody was
jealous,
dude. Like, I had girls come up to me like, hey, stranger. Like,
it was heard you got the Reebok pumps.
Yeah, it's like, so, Josh, wow, like, you just, something's different about you.
Let
you
me
know?
See that, dude.
Yeah. So if I had that Double Dare shirt, that would have gotten me instantaneous elementary school pussy.
Who was the kid, though? Because I'm imagining, like, you're...
Some kid had it.
Some kid had Reebok pumps, the Double Dare t-shirt, and the fucking, like, sweatband from a Nickelodeon's Guts taping.
Yeah.
And so maybe he was on the show.
And he had the biggest pog slammer you've ever seen in your life.
He had slap bracelets.
The pog wasn't big. Like, I think it was, like,
me neither.
Tail end. Like, when... Like, we were more... I remember, like, it was all about shoes and starter jackets.
Oh,
like, starter jackets were like I became a fan of the Charlotte Hornets because that was the one
Grandmama,
that was on sale.
That turquoise.
And that was the one that my dad bought me.
Oh, my God.
Because nobody wanted it. So they're like, what the fuck, give this Hornets
away. The Larry Johnson... the Larry Johnson Grandmama commercials that ran.
Oh, yeah.
Those were the shit.
I became a fan of the Hornets because I bought the jacket. Because I was like, I guess I'm a Hornets fan. So there was like a 2 or 3 year period when they had Kendall Gill, Alonzo Mourning, Larry Johnson, Muggsy Bogues. They had Rex Chapman when they were actually good.
Yeah.
Then I became a huge Hornets fan because of the starter jacket.
Did you ever want to be a basketball? All right. So DJ and then bar mitzvah DJ.
Yeah, I did that.
Did you ever want to do like sports announcing?
Yeah. I mean, I would like I need to start a podcast because I want to do this. I just don't know, like, you know, if I want to do it with a guest or I want to do this or I don't know what I want to do.
Because
there's so many options. And I mean, right now I'm finally starting to get into like the voiceover work where I'm making a good amount of money a month off it. So I'm going to keep riding this out. And then just kind of see where it takes me.
Your bread and butter for voiceover work right now is what?
Well, I work for Spike TV. That's what I do. I do promos for Spike.
Yep.
But then I still work at a strip club.
Yeah.
I still work at a strip club.
Which, by the way, there is no shame in whatsoever because you make good money. And
yeah, but it's just it's you get to a point where you're like, you know, it's just it's
tell me about it. How do you even get into that world?
Because
you've told me a couple right. stories from it, and it's like there's not enough time in the day to
I want to hear some of these.
Well, I was at Hollywood Improv. Do you remember Big B that used to work there? He used to work sound there, real fat guy.
Brian
got fired because he got caught smoking weed out back right before the open mic. And so Rita came up to me. She goes, Josh, I just had to let B go. She's like, can you run the open mic? And I was like, sure. So I go on and I sit in the corner and I'm just like, all right, coming up to the stage, give it up for Boom Shakalaka.
Oh, Boom Shakalaka, and legendary open mic comic here in Hollywood.
And
he's known for stealing stuff from you, then selling it back to you.
I've got some really good things from him. I got a painting actually
back from him.
No. He got me a book. This is the best book I've ever owned. It was a book of essays that this guy wrote from Esquire. And the essays are all about Hollywood, like horror stories, like the John Holmes, like Wonderland Murders, the Rob Lowe sex case. Wow. It's all these really well-written articles that were in Esquire. But here's what's cool about it. I opened up the book, and on the inside sleeve, it said, to Jimmy and Sarah, blah, 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 blah. It had all this, like, writing, you know, about, like, you know, just thank you guys for letting me come on the show and just hanging out with you guys. You know, love whatever the author's name is. Then I open up a piece of paper, and it's got Jimmy Kimmel's like Late Night with Jimmy Kimmel, whatever the show is. It's like it's basically the book
Jimmy Kimmel Live
was made for Jimmy Kimmel and Sarah Silverman, and it was definitely stolen out of fucking Don Barris' car. But I was like, this is my fucking book. Yeah. I was like, I'm
finders keepers, motherfucker.
I paid $2 for this.
So you announced the comics.
So I'm there announcing, and Alex Moore comes up to me, and he goes, hey, Josh, I know you're looking for work, you know, and it's hard to find serving jobs. And I'd gotten fired from a restaurant like 6 months prior, and I'd just been like couching it. And he goes, you know, I work for Spearmint Rhino. He goes, you should be a strip club DJ. And I was like, well, you know, I never really thought about doing it, but I mean, I would. And he goes, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out tomorrow and just dress somewhat respectable. You don't even have to really put on a suit or anything like that, and just go to like 6 strip clubs. I'll bet you'll get hired at 3 of them. And he was 100% right. I got hired at like 2 of them. So I picked the best one, which was a real shitty one. And I worked there for a few months just to kind of get my kind of like you get the feel of it, because it's a totally different entity. It's like the songs have to be a certain length. You have to like come up with like your sayings. You know what I mean?
Your sayings. What do you mean? Your catchphrases?
I go.
Hold on.
Okay.
Let me get you in the mood.
Okay. We go put on.
Okay. Here we go.
Give me a good.
By the way, we have 10 minutes left, and this is what we're talking about.
That's perfect.
10 minutes.
All right, guys, we got a 3-for-2 going on right now. It's going to be extra long songs for your dome.
Extra long songs for
your dome. Who's coming to the stage?
Coming up to the stage, guys, get close for Optimus Prime, y'all.
I've never won.
Gentlemen, she's up there stripping, and y'all ain't tipping. You slipping.
that's my new one.
I've never wanted to fuck Optimus Prime so bad in my life.
Yeah. Then I go, like, my favorite one is extra long song for your dog. And then I go, go in the back and get your dick mushed, boys. Get your dick mushed. Your dizzle mizzle. Come on, y'all.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So you have to have, now strike up that song again, because I'm going to take a stab.
All right.
Now,
yeah, you'd be good at it. But it's here's the thing.
You do have to have little things like that to like make it
rhyme.
People aren't paying attention, but they are. Like when they hear.
I get people that come up and just will give me $20 and be like, you're fucking funny, dude. Like you really.
Do you ever make up facts or names like about the girls? Like
I used to. This was funny.
Here's Tiffany and she got fired out on Olive Garden.
When we had. No, I do. I make fun of the cocktail servers that go up and clean the stage, because like the cocktail servers are really hot, and they like literally should be strippers, because they literally like I mean,
what's stopping them?
Well, they're just
morals.
Like, I don't. They're
pride,
like, yeah.
A father.
No, they're a lot of, you know. They're thank you. They're basically like they make, because they serve the drinks, so they get money that way. But they get more money on stage than a lot of strippers do, because the guys want to see them naked.
Right.
But, like, there's girls that will go up there, and I mean, literally, they're wearing like almost like real short thongs and a skirt. And like they're opening their legs and doing shit while they clean the stage. And so I'll be up there and I'll be like, give it up for the cocktail service cleaning the stage. I know guys out there, there's somebody out there thinking, I think I just seen the girl that brought me the chicken fingers birth canal. I'll say shit like that all the time.
God, that's funny.
I'll just shit on them because it's like ridiculous. They don't even clean the stage. But it's when I'm talking at the strip club, my mind completely goes into like a zen like state where I don't even think about the words. I just start talking and I don't, because I've and I don't turn the sound on, but I'll watch like Inception, or I'll watch like Back to the Future, or yeah. I'll watch Babe, or just some movie that I've seen a million times that I can just look over for a second and be like that, and then a girl will come up, and like the worst thing a girl can do to piss me off is just ask for me to play a song, like just can you so the songs I want to dance to are YG this and something else, and I was like, oh god, like, and that's my job. You know what I mean? Like, that's all I got to do.
Right, just play the songs they want.
And I make so much money, and yeah. I get so mad at these girls. Like, I don't show it as much as I used to, but I'm still very, like... Like, they'll come up and be like, yeah, can you play that new YG song? I'm like, oh, God, I got to download.
What, you ever just fuck with them and be like, hey, play like some Hanson's Umbop or some Billy Ocean? Get out of my dreams, get into my car.
At the end of the night, when we cancel the stage around like 1:40, there's like 10 minutes left just to do dances. And that's when I'll play like Toto's Africa.
Oh, man.
You know, or I play like a lot of Yes recently.
Some
like
Vertical,
you know,
Horizon, You're a God.
There's some good stuff there, but I stay away. I do a lot of George Michael at the end of the night. I do a lot of, like, I always end with Careless Whisper.
Oh my god.
And the girls get mad at me. They're like, the customers don't want to do lap dances to that. And I'm like, I could give a fuck. Like, I've listened to your shitty music all night.
Yeah.
Like, this is my time.
Get on board with Gin Blossom's Hey Jealousy right now.
This is the end of the night. So I want you to make this song sound sexy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go.
I'm going to jump in halfway through.
This is Hillary Duff, Coming Clean.
Jesus.
How apropos.
Yeah, damn right.
All right, gentlemen, we're closing down the doors right now. It's 2 a.m. It's time you guys finish drinking out of here. Don't worry, we open up at 11 a.m. tomorrow, where we'll have another French fry special.
What?
I don't know. I always say, like, well, you know, thank you for coming to Dames and Games, a home of the random French fries. We never have the same French fries. Like, three people will order an entree, and two people get steak fries, and one will get, like, skinny fries. The kitchen's just ass
always
backwards.
Got different fries.
It's just, the kitchen's just ass backwards. But then I'm always
something
like,
to look forward to.
I'm always like, guys, you know, you can always go to Spearmint Rhino downtown, where you're gonna see pussy. Here you don't, of course. So join us tomorrow. Thanks for coming out. Now it's time to leave. I'm very like cut and dry at the end of the night. I just want to get everybody fuck out, collect my winnings, yeah. And go home.
Will you find me a song to?
All right. Do you want like an actual strip club song?
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on. Yeah.
Give him. Would be good? What would be like Pony by Genuine?
Oh, I don't have that.
Yeah, you would.
How do you not have that? You had
Pony by Genuine?
You had the Guts theme song.
If a strip club hired me to DJ, I'd be playing like, fuck. I mean, there would be some Will Smith Miami. There'd be some fucking I've Got a Golden Ticket from Willie and the Wonka.
You'd be working.
There'd probably be the theme song to Wild and Crazy Kids.
Here we go.
The Chippendales Rescue Rangers theme song. Somebody's dry humping to that.
This is a classic for Adam. Okay, right. Here you go.
This is my audition, by the way.
Yeah.
I want you to send this tape to fucking... Hey, this is a shout out to Rick's in Seattle, my first strip club experience ever when I was 18.
Here it is, dude. All right, fellas, coming to the stage right now. It's a hot two-for-one. She's sexy. She's hot. She's overweight. It's Bubblegum. Make sure you tip her well, because
she'll stick to your fingers.
Oh. Bubblegum had to go take a shit. She just ran off the stage. Fellas, coming up next is... Licorice. Ooh, it's a candy themed night tonight. Licorice, of course, is doing the 2-for-1, which means 2 songs for 1 dick.
Licorice. That's right. She's black, but you don't want to put her in your mouth.
And coming up right after Licorice is Stoudemire. Yeah, it's a terrible name for a dancer, but it's the last name of a great NBA player who fizzled out too soon. By the way, the Kings are up 42-36 on the Lakers.
Oh my god.
Dan, you owe me $16. Coming to the stage right now is Coffee Beans.
She'll grind you.
She did not shave her legs.
That was good. She'll grind you.
Yeah, but see, I feel like I was still doing a little
Here's
bit of a jokey
you
strip
don't
club
need
voice.
To, you don't need to do the. You have a voice that you can just talk.
Like, yeah,
that's
just
the
talk.
Thing is, I just
I feel
talk.
Like I would put on. I'd get down.
Dude,
here.
I'm not going to mention who the comic is, but there's a comic that showed up because he was like, I work at a strip club. I was like, dude, I'll get you a job. They need a job where I work. You know, they need somebody to work during the day. I'll get you in.
And he comes in, and my boss meets him. And my boss is like one of my best friends, cool guy. He's like, dude, he's like, yeah, let's just hear you on the mic. And so the guy goes up there, and then he just goes, he talks like us. He's got a normal voice.
Yeah, right.
But then he gets in the mic, he goes, coming up next, you got show your appreciation for the girls. He goes, that's what I'm giving up. Show your appreciation for the girls.
Oh, show your appreciation.
He kept saying that.
That sounds too nice to be a strip club DJ.
He's a host of a PTA meeting. he was like,
guys, can you want to show your appreciation for the whores up here?
He was like, do what it do and do what it does. Like, he kept saying this.
The fuck does that even mean?
I remember, like, I walk away and I walk up to my boss. I go, so what do you think? He goes, is he having a stroke? Like, what's wrong with him? Come on, kid. His face was all like red. You can do it.
He's trying to be Macho Man all of a sudden. Like,
yeah, coming up to the stage. Give it up for Cilantro. Yeah.
Cilantro is the best name.
That's the good one. That's my go-to on stage when I do that. Cilantro is the go-to.
Oh, now, unfortunately, we have to wrap this up.
No, I got to hear some stripper stories. Like in terms of girls freaking out, girls that you dated, girls that you just heard like horror stories of that maybe they dated a celebrity. Like, are there any stories that stand out to you?
I mean,
well, I know the guy who does the sports for KCAL 9 comes in there, right? Somebody told me that once.
In the old strip club, the guy who produced and wrote Independence Day, Dean Devlin, was a fucking freak. Like, a freak. Like, he went down with this girl, Isis, who Isis used to give me hand jobs at the booth without even really even touching my dick. She used to just, like, come up behind me, and she'd just, like, ka-ka-ka-ka, like over top of my pants, and I'd just, ka, and I'd just come in my pants. And then like she'd just picking out her music. Like,
I love the hand job ninja.
I love that when you come in
100%.
I love that when you
couldn't have said that any better.
Wow.
I love that when you come in a strip club DJ booth, you come like a pterodactyl.
Like,
you just
like, how do you come? Like, coming is just like,
you gotta stay professional.
Yeah, you just come. And it's so, yeah, he used to go down with Isis, which means he was fucking. I could name, and I'm not gonna,
no, sure.
But I could name like 10 comedians that have ejaculated in my strip club. One of them,
other than Pauly Shore.
No, he's never come in.
Oh, really?
It's people you wouldn't expect.
Okay,
it's like the guys that
Brian
are like,
Regan. Jim Gaffigan.
Dude, it's like, it's creepy. Like, how
we'll never be on this podcast now.
By the way, those guys don't actually do that. I'm just saying that because they're obviously the cleanest comics around.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Keep going.
But there's a lot of comics. There's some very clean cut comics that that really probably are married that I know for a fact.
And just coming now, do any of the girls, like, have there been situations where they're like doing cat fights backstage or anything like that?
Recently.
Okay.
I'll tell you this story. I've seen a bunch of shitload of fights. Seen a shitload of fights between the girls. But recently, there's this chick, Malaya, who's like Samoan, but she...
Malaya?
Malaya.
That sounds like something you catch on an African tour.
I got
the fucking Malaya.
This chick's built like Ernest Biner, to give you an idea of like how she's just... I always look at her and I go, she's got the body of Jerome Bettis. You know that, right? Like, she's
Kirby Puckett with tits?
Yeah, I swear to God. Like, she's got like a real... She's got a heavy top, but then she's got like literally she looks like she's done steroids in her legs and her butt. Like, she's got huge legs and an ass.
That's
hilarious. She makes a shitload of money.
Sure.
Of course she does. Well, she started working.
She's a fetish. She's like her own thing.
But like guys love her. Like she makes, dude, Brian, she makes, Brad, I'm sorry.
That's all right. It's
Brad, she makes so much money. It's ridiculous. Like it's just,
because girls that are different, they make a lot of money. Like, because, if you're another blonde that's got big tits, there's five more waiting to go on stage right after you.
Yes.
Because, like, I've been there on nights that there's midget strippers and they fucking clean up. Like,
I would, dude. If you know Bridget the Midget?
Yeah, I know her.
Dude, I would fuck the shit.
That exchange right there, by the way, was worth this whole evening taking place.
Hey, do you know Bridget the Midget?
Yeah, I know her.
Is that
of
her name?
Of course you know
her. Is that her name? No. The one with all the tattoos?
Yeah, that's her name. I know.
I would fuck the shit out of her.
I know
dude.
Her real name, but yeah.
Can you set this up?
Absolutely.
Think she'd go out with me?
Dude, you're a strip club DJ. Why not?
Oh, my God.
I love
God.
It. You're her people.
Oh, I would fuck the shit out of her.
All right.
Do you know Bridget the Midget?
No.
Look her up.
Yeah.
Go on Pornhub. Look her up. She's a good one.
Dude, you also would be great for like a late night like Delilah, like calling in right now is...
All right, guys. You're listening to the soothing sounds of Third Eye Blind. We're doing another rock block coming up right here.
How's it going to be? Because Dan in Pacoima is wondering, hey, Teresa, how's it going to be when I go away to Iraq for 6 years?
Oh, my God.
I did radio in D.C. for a minute with my buddy. He worked for DC 101, and I did like a Saturday night show with him. And for like
DC 101, that's Howard's old station, right?
Yeah, but that's like Howard's like a long time. But yes, you're right. Yeah. But we, so I did radio. But I'm sorry. So basically, let me tell you the Malaya story real quick. Basically, Malaya got to the club and she acted like she owned it. And because she makes a lot of money, like she just kind of threw a weight around and like was just
literally.
Was like, I'm the shit. So there's this chick, Aviana, who I know is dirty. Like, I know this bitch is dirty. Like, we've seen her fucking, like, but she tips good. So we're not going to tell her not to. You know what I mean? It's almost like if you break us off, we don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. If you're breaking somebody else off. So
that was the original slogan of Kit Kat, by the way.
If you break us off, we don't really give a fuck.
Yeah, like, dude, we gotta clean this up a little bit. Kids are buying our snacks. Oh, God, how about break me off a piece of that ass? Still has nothing to do with the chocolate, Dan.
That's so funny. All right, keep going.
So, hey, tweet at Josh Adam Myers on Twitter. Hashtag if you break us off a piece. What is it?
If you break us off, I don't know.
Break us off,
just listen to that section. Listen to hour and 10 minutes into this podcast. Yeah.
Break us off.
That.
We don't care if you break someone else
off. That's
done.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Done. So Aviana and her, I guess Aviana doesn't like, I like Malaya. And so Aviana's talking to this customer and Malaya's about to go on stage. And when she hardly ever goes on stage, when she does, she likes to round up guys to throw a lot of money on her. And she gets them to do that, right? So Aviana is sitting with the customer and Malaya goes up to the customer and says, hey, I'm going to go on stage. You want to tip me? And Aviana's like, why are you talking to me and my customer? Like, you know,
she does the interception move
and so
frowned upon in strip club communities.
And this is on a Friday night. Packed, like 400 people in the strip club. There's a shitload of dudes in the strip club.
Okay.
And so Malaya and her start jawing back and forth. Like, that's my customer. That's not your customer. I dance with him, blah, blah, blah. And so Malaya puts her face close to Aviana. So Aviana, like, puts, like, her hands, like, in her, you know, basically, like, her fingers, like, whatever, in
Yeah,
Malaya's
it's a big
face.
No-no.
So, yeah, and
male
and
then, or female fights, fingers in the face, yeah, you're starting some shit.
And then Malaya kind of, like, moves her fingers out of her face, like, pushes her hands out of the way, and then Aviana just clocks her.
Whoa.
And then Malaya is just this big chick. She just jumps on top of her and just starts beating the shit out of her. Now here's where it gets cool.
Now it gets cool.
Every guy in the club stands up.
The moment you said it was Aviana, I know. I was like, the story's amazing.
I came 5 minutes ago and now the story's gonna get cool.
Every guy stands up and this dude that's just got a stack of ones while they're beating the shit just starts throwing the ones on top of them.
Oh,
so
God,
she makes
good.
Like $400. Like
while
probably.
Fighting,
it's just throwing money.
He thinks it's part of the show, or he's just like, this is what you can do because of where we're at.
I think he was just a guy that was drunk and just had a lot of money, and he was like, this is fucking, I think I'm going to be funny. Yeah, I think he was just trying to be funny, but he's just like, there's guys in there that come in there with $1,000 in ones, and they just throw it like it's nothing. So if you can do that, then $400 at that situation, I don't think would make
a difference.
A
guy like that comes in with $1,000 in ones is like, I was going to go to the arcade and like get like a lot of tokens dollar by dollar.
Right.
But they were closed.
That's funny.
I'm not that good at skee ball.
Like, I don't think they really show up with the ones. We break them off the ones. Oh, but we can make change. Shows up.
We can make change. That's got to be like from the early stages of strip clubs, like one of the slogans for you.
Yeah.
We got a 20? We can make change. Come on in. The pussy. Cat Lounge on the corner of Normandy and Florence.
I went to a strip club in Vegas once. We drove out. It was my buddy's 21st birthday, and we get in the cab. We go, take us to the best strip club in Vegas, man. He goes, no problem, my friend. I take you right there. Dude, 2 hours later, well, it was about 35 minutes, away from the strip, we see the strip behind us, like as if like we're leaving like the end of a movie where like you see the back of the car driving away and the city's behind you. Like I was like, we're driving further away from Vegas. Like, it's the best in all of the land. We'd be great. I'm like, are we going to have to fucking answer a riddle from a troll at some point to get to this place? Because we're going over hills and under bridges, pull up to the Pussycat, but the P and the C of the lights were burnt out.
Yeah.
So we pulled up to the Ussiat, and that really speaks volumes for the type of place this was.
Love
dude,
it
was just the worst. And there was this like probably 300-pound black stripper that we had
give
my buddy the dance of a lifetime. We all pulled in, gave her like $300, and we were like, it's his birthday. I think you know what that I think you know what to do. And she was like, oh, I know exactly what to do. I was like, Danny Glover? And she was like, and he was like, I'm not too old for this shit yet. And he sucked her dick. That'd be a great ending for the story.
That's a great ending.
God, that's funny.
And in the end, she came in his face.
We actually went to Vegas this past weekend for the Super Bowl, and I had never been to Vegas. It was the first time I've ever been there. Mm-hmm. And honest to God, we went to Sapphire, which was like the Costco of strip clubs. Like, it was, like, there were 500 girls
Costco
working.
Costco strip clubs?
It was, have you been to Sapphire?
I've not been to Sapphire.
It was enormous. It was like going into a Costco with just strippers everywhere. Like, it was, there was like at least, you know, 1,200 guys
people
there.
People give them samples?
Dude, it was
hey, man, try the new fucking pizza bun.
Try this pussy slider, yo.
I was thinking of an actual food. I was like, hey, try the new Long John Silver's fucking chicken wings.
Yeah, he went with pussy slider. By the way, pussy slider on the bill for Coachella next year.
Yeah. That great band.
Yeah, absolutely.
With Sad Midget.
Perfect. I mean, like, I could just imagine just working at a strip club. There's just stories fucking galore.
Here's the thing, though. Nobody ever comes in. No, like, I'm telling you guys right now, open invitation. You can just walk in and, like, you own the place. There's alcohol there. There's titties. It's the only strip club in LA that's got alcohol and titties. Like,
oh, it is?
The only one. Like, besides Crazy, but not Crazy Girl. Yeah, Crazy Girls. The one that's
no,
on.
They're in bikinis on La Brea.
You're right.
Yeah,
we're the only topless sports bar. Because we're a sports bar, too. Yeah. Where, you know, we show a lot of football games.
Dames and games?
Dames and games, yeah.
I've seen your billboards.
So you guys.
I've seen your billboards.
No, they were. When we first opened,
that's code
they were.
You've done the. Dude, remember the guy? Who was like
he's in the back of the LA Weekly?
The guy who was walking a little funny last week. That was Brad muppeting it up, standing on a fucking another little person with the trench coat again.
Damn it, Adam! You're giving away all my secrets.
That's brilliant.
That would be amazing to see you walk in like that.
I'm gonna have to do that now. I'm gonna have to get some other dwarf that's not working all that much. Okay, can't get Dinklage. He's too damn powerful. Let's get Vern Troyer. Let's get Minnie Me.
Yeah, let's get it, dude. That guy probably lives inside fucking strip clubs.
Women lives inside women. Yes, he does.
He's fucking a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, good for him.
He's got money. Good.
Yeah. That would be an amazing. What would they do? What would the strippers do if Brad and another little person walked in like maybe either pimp suits or unitards? I can't decide which
what,
outfit
like a King
is
Kong
better.
Bundy
to me.
Like unitard with the little. The like strongman outfit.
Yeah, you got it.
Bundy.
I think reference. You know what I'm talking about. Like,
I know
like
the reference. You could have gone Andre the Giant, but everyone knows that. So why do that? Let's go with the Die Hard fans. Let's go King Kong Bundy. I fucking love it.
Thank you.
Great job.
I think that, yeah, listen, if you came in, you definitely get a lot of attention, you know, just because, like, one, people probably recognize you, and two, like, the strippers would love you.
Oh, that'd be great.
You, I think the same thing. You know who got the most amount of attention? One guy's come to my club and he's gotten a shitload of attention. Jonathan Daniel Brown, the guy that was in Project X.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit.
Dude,
yeah.
I don't know if I should say this, but he had a lot of fun in the club.
Good.
But the strippers went ape shit over him because that's the kind of movie they'd watch, Project X. You know, they're not watching. You know, they're not watching fucking,
The Heat?
12 Years a Slave, you know what I'm saying? Nah, they probably saw The Heat. Definitely saw The Heat.
12 Years a Slave.
But they'd recognize you. You'd get some pussy out of it.
They're watching Operation Dumbo Drop, let's be honest.
That's who's watching Operation Dumbo Drop, 100%. Strippers,
and
they're
loving
that.
It, by the way.
They love.
They can quote Operation Dumbo Drop.
Oh, 100%.
Strippers love Danny Glover.
100%.
Oh my God, Josh! This has been
so much fun, man.
So much fun.
The longest wait for a podcast in the history.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah.
We never talked about that. We talked about that. This was supposed to happen 9 months ago, and then the last month it was supposed to happen every day.
Right.
Post, but
and then Brad's back got hurt, and that pushed.
Well, that was also you.
That's a legit
audition.
Yeah,
I've got a lot of, you know, it's pilot season, and I've got a lot.
Dude, it's But this is really funny when I grab Josh and I go, Brad needs us to pick him up down at the bottom of the street because of his back. Mm-hmm. And we're going to my car, and he was just getting ready to walk down the street, and he goes, I thought you meant we were just going to walk down to the street and pick him up and carry him back up here.
Because it's
like, that would be the ultimate chivalrous move.
Yeah, because I wouldn't mind that. You go down, you throw me on your back like I'm fucking Yoda in Empire. Yeah, sure, why not?
What do you weigh?
I just lost about some weight, like buck 12.
Yeah, we could do that. What is like the? But again, you said you just lost some weight, and it's like I never have looked at you and been like, oh, "Fuck."
Yeah, you didn't. I never thought you carry it well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I carry very dwarf push-ups. That's all I do.
All right, Brett's
fucking
having a stroke.
Fucking midget push-ups. Right. Ah.
But like, is there,
I need some jello.
Fat midget. Is there ever like a fat? I can't think of a fat.
Oh, okay. No one's going to get this reference. I'm going to throw it anyway. Watch the movie Willow, the character Burglecut.
Oh, yeah.
I know about Burglecut. Is it Burglecut?
Yeah. Burglecut's the fat
one. What was the first sentence she said? I get down on Burglecut. What did you say?
Like, I know about.
I know about Burglecut.
I think I know about Burglecut.
Burglecut is like.
I get down on Burglecut.
Burglecut was the that was the
and then he came on my face.
Yo, is Burglecut dancing next week at Dames and Games? On the Game of Thrones
get
theme
close
night?
For Slytherin.
Yo, Mad Mardigan coming up next days. We got a 2-for-1 Burgle Cuts in the wings. Make please. It loud. Please.
We got an official coming up right now, an official Skeksi from the Dark Crystal, y'all.
Whoa.
Weird reference.
Please huh? Tweet me when you listen to this podcast. I get down on Burgle Cut. I have to have that hashtag. So
Burgle Cut sounds like maybe like the kid who got turned down from Guts. And it also sounds like
Burgle Cut.
It also sounds like something you say to the waiter after he tells you there's no more salad at the Olive Garden.
Burgle Cut. Oh,
you bastard.
Oh, God, that's funny.
So Josh Adam Myers on Twitter.
At Josh Adam Myers. My website's joshadammyers.com. It's spelled M-E-Y-E-R-S, not M-Y. So
you perform all over town, Improv, Comedy Store, Laugh Factory, Ice House.
I got a show coming up. If this one is just coming out?
Couple weeks.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
All right, yeah. Maybe sooner.
Hold on. There's, well, never mind.
Right.
When is it coming? Because I don't know when it's coming out.
Like 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
I got a bunch of shows.
Just okay. Go to your website.
Yeah, go to your website.
And go see Josh live, because not only is that voice incredible, he's a great writer. He's a great performer.
Oh, you're so sweet.
You're entertaining as fuck, man. And when you go see comedy, that's like, you don't want to be moved. You don't want to fucking have people, at least for me, I'm talking about my own thing. I don't want to see somebody change my world. I want to be fucking entertained and like and think a little bit, you know? And you do both those very well.
Thank you very much. I say the same about both of you guys. I'm a big fan of both of you guys, and I'm glad we're friends, and I'm glad I'm here with you guys right now.
Me too. And guess what? You made me think of Burglecut. I haven't thought about that shit.
I get down on Burglecut, baby. I get down on some Burglecut.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.